The next matter is Elliott versus Department of Corrections.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Christopher Lundberg, and I'm lead trial counsel in the Vicki Elliott matter. I have with me at counsel table Ms. Elliott, and in the courtroom, my law partner, Shay Scott, who's a member of the Washington State Bar.
Do you want to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Not at this time. If I have some time at the end, I'll reserve.
All right.
The Washington Law Against Discrimination is a remedial statute in nature, and it's designed to eradicate racism from our institutions. And the way it does that primarily, particularly in a racially hostile scenario, is through remedies that end the current harassment, but more importantly, deter future harassment. And this case exemplifies the need to, or the danger, if you don't take account of racial hostility. In addition, the Washington Law Against Discrimination only works if it is the members of the protected class use it, because if they don't, remedies will not occur. They will resort to self-help remedies. They will suffer silently, leave their jobs, or worse. And in this case, it's important in that sense, because people in the protected class are watching. Ms. Elliott is watching, and she relied on this case for protection. And here, she trusted. She trusted this process. She trusted Ms. Smith. By disclosing to Ms. Smith her vulnerability when the first kicking incident occurred and told her that this was a racially degrading act, Ms. Smith acknowledged that and said she was sorry and she would never do it again.
But that so you concede then that the first kick was not a racial act?
No. That was not made with racial motivation. It was a racial act, but it wasn't. Ms. Smith did not act motivated by race.
Okay. So it did not, under your hostile work environment claim, the conduct did not occur because of race.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Then she turned her trust to the Department of Corrections, the institution.
Well, she didn't actually ask for an investigation on that, did she?
No, she didn't.
And there was none, was there?
No, there wasn't.
All right.
But the superintendent encouraged her to do that reluctantly because, as I said earlier, if people don't believe the process is going to serve them, they are not going to engage the process. It's a difficult process to do.
But Ms. Elliott had been through the process before, has she not?
She had.
Successfully.
She had been through it successfully, that's correct. But it wasn't without animosity. It generated animosity, a lot of animosity. And in this case, she just wanted to be protected. She didn't want to create necessarily a claim. But Ms. Superintendent Vernell encouraged her to do so, so she did. And she followed the process. She did what she was asked to do. She participated in the investigation. She continued working with this person while it was pending. And when that, the result of that was inadequate and was not effective, she then turned to the Washington Law Against Discrimination. And when we were at the trial court level on summary judgment, the trial court failed her as well and betrayed her trust.
So on the issue of conduct that occurred because of race, the first kick did not. There was a second incident when there was an attempt to at least the foot was raised towards
yes.
her. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And
your contention that is racially motivated because of what Ms. Smith had learned from Ms. Elliott earlier.
Exactly.
Okay.
Was there
anything else about that would suggest that there was racial motivation?
Well, I think it's objectively reasonable. I mean, that's why we cited to all of the other African-American employees, including a high-level person in the Department of Correction, who recognized it as having racial significance. So it was subjectively racially charged to Ms. Elliott. But I think the evidence is, and certainly a jury can decide.
In Ms. Elliott's complaint that she filed, did she specifically identify anything that had to do with race in her complaint?
In her internal discrimination complaint, she checked the box, race and
right.
color.
But what did she say that would suggest that it was racially motivated?
She said it was degrading. She was not asked the question, why do you think it's racially motivated? Which is precisely the problem with respect to that investigation. She filed an internal discrimination.
So she said it was degrading, but she didn't say anything about race in there, did she?
Well, she did when she filed it. Well, she said it was race and color.
She checked the boxes.
Correct.
In her description of what happened, what did she say that would put someone on notice that she believed she had been discriminated against?
She didn't use the term race. She said it was humiliating and degrading to her, and that she had explained this to Ms.
And so your position is that by use of those terms, that the department should have been aware that was a racially, that she was alleging a racially motivated
incident. In part, yes, okay. Your Honor. But okay. There's more than that. I mean, the evidence in the, if we want to get into whether it, you know, in my view on this, it goes without saying. It's obvious it's about race. No one asked the question, because the question, if the question had been asked, why do you think it's racially motivated? Then they would have learned that Ms. Smith said, in answer to this question, my question to her was, you understand that kicking would be specifically hurt her with respect to it being from a cultural, from an African-American cultural perspective, being very degrading. Yes. She knew it was an incredibly degrading racial gesture to kick at and shoo and say get to Ms. Elliott in front of inmates in a serious situation. And she did it anyway. Okay, that is a line that is so bright in my mind, it can't possibly be, as a matter of law, not enough. But if there's any question about it, it has to go to a jury. And there's more than that. There's evidence in the record that when Ms. Smith sat down with Superintendent Vernell is the one who said, oh, let me tell you about my discrimination that I've experienced. She was right on top of the racial implications of it. Ms. Smith, Superintendent Vernell is the one who said, you have to file an internal discrimination complaint. They got the head of the equity department, the diversity coordinator, I don't know if I have his title right, Harrison Allen, to do the investigation. If they didn't think this thing was racially motivated, then why'd they do all that? But what ends up at the end, what gets spit out at the end, is there's no racial motivation. There's no evidence of this particular fact that Ms. Elliott knew her act was racially degrading. And because of that failure, it can't be an effective remedy.
Did the investigation result in a finding it wasn't racial, or just nothing?
No finding. Just that the kicks occurred, and that they were workplace violence, and that they were degrading. And we know that had consequences because the recommendation was firing. In our belief, and I think the reasonable inference is, Eleanor Vanell made that recommendation because she knew what it was. But then when it went up the chain of command, Todd Dollar, who reviewed it and downgraded it to a 10-day suspension, answered my question on deposition. I said, well, if you knew it was race-based, did you know it was race-based? Had no idea. Well, if you had, would you have likely upheld the termination? Absolutely. That changes the nature of it totally. And if the termination had been upheld, they would never have the third incident, which resulted in her harm. So the racial motivation is a question of fact. We think it's clear, but it's certainly a question of fact. The severity of hostility, I want to take a moment to talk about the pervasiveness of this, because it's not the kick. What the state wants to say is there's a first kick and a second kick, and we're going to count these up, and that's not a big deal. It's not the kick. It's the attitude and the message that's being communicated by the gesture. That's what's in play here. Just like when someone says the N-word to a coworker, it's not the word. It's the communication behind that word, that you're not a full and equal member of my workplace because of your color of your skin.
I think those are two different things. I mean, I think that if you use that word, it conveys something just by use of the word. But a kick can mean a whole lot of different things. It's much more ambiguous than use of the N-word.
Well, I would beg to differ, but I would grant you that it might be a question of fact. But the significant issue here on this gesture is that maybe it was ambiguous the first time, but the second time it wasn't at all ambiguous. It was eminently clear that to Ms. Elliott, that kick sent a clear racial message. It wasn't just a kick either. It was a walk toward, a kick, a shoo away with the word get behind it. And it wasn't in a joking way. It was in a serious situation where Ms. Elliott was responding to what she perceived was a dangerous situation with offenders around her coworker. And she was so degraded and humiliated and treated like, as she described, nothing worse than a dog. And she had told Ms. Smith, that is racially charged. When you do that to me, I see that as a racial slight. And Ms. Elliott and Ms. Smith said, I know you do. I get it, and I won't do it again. And she did it again. I don't know how you get any clearer than that. And certainly Ms. Elliott perceived it the same as the use of the N-word. That's how she felt it. And you have to look at that gesture and the attitude that it, and the message that it sends in the context of this organization, which is why we are pointing out that this institution was Ms. Elliott experienced racism. She was called Hood Rat, Aunt Jemima.
You want to talk about the conditional discharge?
Sure. Well, I think, again, this case certainly, in my view, has all of the factors that would justify constructive discharge. Because you have a person who is begging not to work around this person, gets a restraining order not to work around this person. The person who, the coworker, is asking not to work around this person. The coworker is angry and upset, and the very first day they get back together, an assault occurs. And then after that, she gets a permanent restraining order, goes back to the institution, and says, can you separate us now? And she's still told no. You couldn't do anything more significant to protect yourself. And you're being told you won't be protected.
Very well. You have
Thank
no
you.
Rebuttal time.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Grace O'Connor. I'm here on behalf of the defendant, the Department of Corrections. This Court should affirm the trial court's grant of summary judgment. First, Ms. Elliott's hostile work environment claim fails as a matter of law. Second, her retaliation claim fails because DOC took no adverse action against her. Third, her constructive discharge claim fails as a matter of law because she resigned and there is no evidence DOC deliberately created intolerable working conditions. And fourth, she cannot meet the elements of a negligent supervision claim. I'm going to focus my time today on her hostile work environment claim, and I'm going to begin with the elements of imputation. To impute Ms. Smith's actions to DOC, Ms. Elliott must show that DOC's actions following her complaints were not reasonably calculated to end the harassment.
There's no. Would it be relevant then that there was all this history of discrimination that she had suffered? I mean, as in the state's brief, there was some kind of argument about res judicata, and help me understand that, because no one's attacking the validity of those findings. They are what they are, and given what she had experienced, wouldn't that be relevant evidence in terms of whether this claim should have gone forward?
Well, if Your Honor doesn't believe that res judicata should...
I mean, what do you mean by res judicata? That it's inadmissible?
I mean that she... that these complaints were settled at, you know, in a settlement.
The findings that she suffered discrimination.
That's correct, Your Honor. But more importantly for this discussion is that DOC did investigate those complaints, and those bad actors were disciplined. Termination for one, 5% reduction in pay for another, and suspension without pay for another. So there's nothing between those events, which were not only settled but were also dealt with by DOC, and the incidents that are at issue today, that you know, the conduct that Ms. Smith took against Ms. Elliott. And so there's no evidence here that the investigation was discriminatory. There's been some assertion that the investigation failed to appreciate the racial component of the conduct that Ms. Elliott was, the racial component that she was alleging, but that's not borne out by the records, Your Honors. The internal discrimination complaint report that Mr. Harrison Allen filed is actually titled IDC number, you know, 40. I mean, internal discrimination complaint, like that's the title of the report. And he came to the conclusion that a sanction was warranted, as was discussed earlier. And Eleanor Vernell, Superintendent Vernell, did indeed initially want to terminate Ms. Smith, both because
the sanctions that were proposed were, well, the sanctions were, the finding was that sanctions were warranted based on workplace violence, but not on discrimination. Is that correct or no?
Well, Your Honor,
was there a distinction drawn?
The report was the internal discrimination, was based on the internal discrimination complaint. So it's not in the record whether a separate workplace violence report was filed or if Mr. Allen ruled those two investigations together as they were, because they were based on the same events. But the report in the record is the internal discrimination complaint report, and that is the report in which he recommends a sanction for Ms. Smith.
Well, if it was an internal discrimination investigation, shouldn't the investigator have made a finding one way or the other about the discrimination? As I understand it from the record, there's no finding.
That's correct, Your Honor. There's no substantiation that the acts were racially motivated. Nevertheless,
is that in the report, that there's no substantiation?
That's not in the report. Your Honor is correct that there's no discussion or analysis one way or another. In her,
well, how can we? if there's no discussion or analysis or findings, how can we say that there was some adequate investigation done of the discrimination complaint?
Well, there was a report that dealt with the internal discrimination complaint. I mean, the complaint is attached to the report. There was extensive interviews done with.
So it's an internal discrimination complaint that was evaluated with no mention of any findings with regard to whether discrimination occurred or not.
That's correct, Your Honor, but a sanction was recommended. So, and that sanction was initially termination. After the
sanction was recommended based on discrimination or something else?
Well, Your Honor, Eleanor Vernell in her deposition explained that she understood that there was a racial component to Ms. Elliott's charges, but that she didn't believe there was enough evidence to warrant that. What really disturbed her, in addition to that, was the simultaneous investigation about Ms. Smith's improper conduct with offenders, which Ms. Elliott had reported. And so
Vernell's concerns about racial discrimination, was that communicated to Mr. Dowler, who ultimately made the decision about what the sanction should be?
It's not in the record whether that was communicated to Mr. Dowler, Your Honor, but to be clear, Mr. Dowler did not make the final decision. That is not true. Superintendent Vernell had the final say. What Mr. Dowler testified to is that as part of the labor relations unit of DOC, they're tasked with reviewing all proposed sanctions to make sure that they're proportionate and consistent.
And because there was no racial component, as far as he was aware, when he made the decision about what are comparable sanctions, 10 days was the more appropriate sanction as opposed to
suspension was more appropriate. And, Your Honor, what he said in his deposition is that he could not recall if he reviewed an internal discrimination complaint or not. I mean, there's no express fact in the record that he didn't have it in front of him. And we also have in the record some advice from the Assistant Attorney General who reviewed this file, who also agreed that a termination was not going to stand up under arbitration and that suspension was more appropriate. And in his declaration, he did review the internal discrimination complaint. And so the fact that Superintendent Vernell may have come to the conclusion that there wasn't enough evidence to support a finding of race discrimination is not evidence that the remedy or that the investigation was not reasonable, and that's Swenson versus Potter, Your Honor, at 1196. And the punishment that was meted out to Ms. Smith also cannot impute to DOC liability, because an employer is not required to take all possible measures against a bad actor, and that's Estevez, Your Honors, which I cited yesterday in a supplemental authority filing.
Can you turn to the constructive discharge argument?
Yes, Your Honor. Ms. Elliott's argument is that she was constructively discharged because after the alleged tripping incident on September 29th, it was not safe for her to return to work. She didn't give DOC the opportunity. She quit. DOC, there's nothing in the record that DOC communicated with her between the time that she left work on September 29th with her workplace injury. She didn't return. She gave notice of her resignation on October 12th.
But she was kicked once. She was attempted kick, or at least an effort to raise your foot at someone. She complained that she felt threatened by that behavior. She got when she requested for some protection in order to move shifts, that was denied. She got a protection order. The only thing that was done was that they told her you can be in the same room, you just have to stay 10 feet apart from each other and communicate through the supervisor. In view of the confirmation that those incidents of workplace violence had occurred, do you think that was sufficient response by the department to that knowledge?
Well, first of all, Your Honor, I don't think the record bears out the assertion that that was the department's response. So the only thing in the record is a September 23rd email from Ms. Elliott to Superintendent Vernell asking to switch shifts. Superintendent Vernell didn't deny that request. She explained that the CBA barred her from unilaterally making the decision to bump another union employee off of the day shift bid in order to accommodate a switch shift. She said if what they...
But she was aware it could happen in certain circumstances.
In certain circumstances, but there's no evidence in the record that this circumstance was a circumstance in which Superintendent Vernell could have done that. Now, once the 250-foot protective order was in place...
Would a jury be entitled to determine whether or not it was a threat of workplace violence would be sufficient to for the department to do something different?
If the department had had an opportunity to respond after the final tripping, then perhaps, Your Honor, but they didn't get the opportunity
Before the final tripping. Mm-hmm. I'm about before that. If just on what the department knew about the two prior incidents, Ms. Elliott's concerns, and the fact that she had obtained a restraining order.
Your Honor, I believe the constructive discharge claim is premised entirely on the trip. Mm-hmm. And so the trip, again, she didn't come back to work. She had that 250-foot restraining order, which she obtained after the trip. Before that, it was a 10-foot restraining order, which the day she came back to work on September 29th, the department met with her to develop with Ms. Elliott to develop a safety plan to accommodate that 10-foot restraining order. And I see my time is up, Your Honors, and I would ask this court to affirm the grant summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.